Grab a hold of your Bibles and stand with me. Let's hold them up and say it together. This
is the Word of God, and I know it's true.
That's good. If you remain standing with me, please, and turn, guess where? The book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. Those of you that missed last week, missed the first part of a series, you can get it on a webpage, cbcmadison.org. It's all there, the whole sermon last week. We're going to start with Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, and then go through chapter 2, verse 2. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Shall we pray? Lord, we just thank you for your word again. We thank you, Lord, that you deal with men, and you deal with grace and mercy. And you also can deal with judgment if men do not listen to you. So, Lord, I just pray that you would lead us and guide us through your word. Pray that you anoint this message as it goes forth. Hide your servant behind the cross once again. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Last week when we left Jonah, he was just sliding by the tonsils. Jonah had a kind of a bad day. But he brought it on himself because he was being disobedient to God. We talked about last week how Jonah was called by God to go to Nineveh, and Jonah chose to go the opposite direction. Instead of going 500 miles to Nineveh, he went 1,500 miles to Tarshish, the other way. Just disobeying God, going the wrong direction, and somehow thinking that perhaps he was going to escape God. Well, you remember the story, the storm came up, and when it says God sent, it's like God threw like a javelin, the wind. And it hit the sea, and the sailors right away knew there was something wrong. This wasn't a normal storm. They became fearful right away. They began to throw things overboard. They began, everybody pray to your gods. And Jonah's sleeping in the bottom of the boat. And so they got Jonah up and said, what are you doing sleeping? Somebody, you know, you need to pray to your God. He was the only man of God there, the only one that believed in Jehovah God, and he was sleeping. So they got him up, and the heathens had to get the man of God to pray. Then they cast lots, and it fell on Jonah. And I'm sure, as I said, Jonah was probably thinking, ah, these are heathens. There's no way this is going to be, doesn't mean anything. And it came on him, and so he knew he was busted. And he knew why the storm. He knew what the problem was. And so these guys were afraid, and they tried to row back to shore. They couldn't because the wind was too severe. After Jonah told them that he was the reason for the storm, they still tried to save his life. And Jonah said, you got to throw me overboard. Now, the significance of that is that Jonah could have repented right there. He could have repented before he went down to Joppa. He could have repented before he got in, found the boat, and before he bought the ticket. He could have repented before he loaded onto the boat. And he's headed the opposite direction God wants him to go. He hasn't taken any of these opportunities to repent. Now he has another opportunity. The storm is fierce, tempestuous. I got that word finally. Instead of tempestuous. It's tempestuous. And he had an opportunity to repent there. These guys already, he says, why did you do this? He could have knelt down and he said, Lord, forgive me. For the sake of these men, forgive me. For the sake of Nineveh, forgive me. For my sake, forgive me. I will go to Nineveh right away. I believe the storm would have been calmed instantly. Those men still would have become believers in God because the God of the storm could start it and stop it anytime that he wanted to. But Jonah didn't want to do that. He hated those Ninevites so bad he didn't want to go there. And so here he is in this situation. And they throw him overboard. And in his mind he's thinking, I won. I don't have to go to Nineveh. To the point of death, he wouldn't obey God. Now, because Jonah knew where he was when the fish swallowed him, I have to deduct from that that he saw this fish coming. You can imagine what that must have looked like to Jonah when he looked under the water. Or maybe he was still on top of the water trying to swim, but here comes this huge fish that God prepared. Say, well, there's no fish that can swallow a man. Well, maybe there's not. There might be, but there was then, because God made a custom-made fish just for that job, right? God made this custom-made fish to swallow Jonah. Didn't even have to chew a leg off to get him down. Gulped him right down. So Jonah is in the belly of this fish that was custom-made by God. Now, God has Jonah in a pretty tight spot, don't you think? And that often happens when we choose to disobey God and he's working on us to get us to do the right thing, but we refuse to do it, and God begins to put the pressure on us, and I think Jonah was feeling the squeeze, don't you? So then he began to pray. Verse 1 again of chapter 2, and then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly, or from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out. Now, you have to remember, as we're reading this, Jonah escaped. Obviously, Jonah's writing this. Now, he didn't have his journal with him in the belly of the fish, okay? This narrative doesn't come from while he's in the belly of the fish. You know? So he didn't have that. He had to write this afterwards. So you see him talking about how he was feeling while this was taking place. And then you see a line about looking back on it. So, then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. At that moment when he cried out, he didn't know that the Lord was going to answer him. He didn't know if God was going to answer him at all, because he knew what he had done. He knew why he was in the belly of the fish. And he didn't know if this was the end for him. So you have to keep that in mind as we read this. He writes afterwards, and he answered me, but at that moment he didn't know. Can you imagine what that feeling must have been like? He was alive, and he was in this fish's belly. Now, you ever been to these caves, Carlsbad Cave, whatever, you go way down in there, you shut off all the lights, and then you take your hand and you hold it right in front of your face and you go like this and you can't see it? That is so freaky. Total darkness. It is so weird. You can't see anything. It's so dark, even your imagination is black. Well, I'm sure that's the way it was with Jonah. He couldn't see anything. It was just pitch black down there. It probably wasn't totally quiet because he could probably hear the fish's stomach grumbling about the what do you just ate? And, okay. And he says, out of the belly of Sheol, I cried. That's verse 2. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, and you heard my voice. So here he is. He's crying out, and he feels like it's a grave. Sheol, the grave. Out of the belly of the grave, I cried out. And then he says, in retrospect, and he answered me. Verse 3. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. See, Jonah was trying to get 1,500 miles away from God. He was trying to get away from God's presence. Twice it says that in the beginning of the narrative. And he did this to flee God's presence, or to get away from God's presence. Now, he's in a fish, in the ocean, under the water, and the thought has to be in his mind, have I finally escaped the presence of God? Whoa. The thought must have been in his mind, did I get my wish? Can God hear me here? Well, I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter how far down you go or how low you get, God still hears you. Amen. If you cry out to him. That's the key. Is to cry out to him. Okay. Verse 3 again. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Verse 4. And then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. I have been cast out of your sight. The thought was there in Jonah's mind that I have gone too far. It's too late. God has abandoned me. And verse 4 in the middle, it says, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. I think that was an afterthought again after he's looking back, realizing, and that's what the way it was in Jerusalem. They looked toward Jerusalem. You remember in the Old Testament when God was telling them, if you get away from me, but you turn to the temple and you pray and you repent, I will rescue you. That's what he said in the Old Testament. I will rescue you if you turn. That's in Jonah's mind right now. I want to turn to the temple, but as he's looking back, he realized that he had an opportunity once again to look. Verse 5, and the waters surround me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. And I liked this last line of that verse 5. It said, weeds were wrapped around my head. Just a reminder of where he was. All slimy seaweeds in there. And you know, there was other things in there too, you know. It wasn't just seaweeds and Jonah. I'm sure that there was quite a cargo there if that fish was that big. He was a hungry bugger. And so he was there with a lot of company in the belly of that fish. And it says in verse 6, I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Forever. I think at that point he thought, I'm done. God has cast me away. I have finally escaped the presence of the Lord. I'm not only under the water, I am in the depths. I'm clear down to the bottom of this ocean or this sea. I'm clear down at the so far away, God can't hear me. And he says, yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. As he's writing this, he's remembering he was at the bottom, in the belly of a fish, at the bottom of the sea, but yet God brought him out. Do you know that that situation was absolutely, totally impossible? That situation was absolutely, totally, completely impossible. There was no way Jonah was going to get out of there. I mean, just think about you. We're running an hour difference time now, and you're all hungry. If somebody tried to take your lunch away from you today, it wouldn't be pretty, would it? You know what I'm saying? Thanks, Earl. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, oh my God. And verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, what did he do? He remembered the Lord. Now he was praying, but now he's serious because he's fading out. He's thinking, this is it. I'm drifting off. I'm going to die. This is it for me. And so he says, I remember the Lord, and my prayer went up to you in your holy temple. Now he's not talking about Jerusalem temple. He's talking about the heavenly temple. He doesn't know whether he's going north, south, east, or west. He doesn't know which way the temple of Jerusalem is, but he knows where God is, and God is where God is. And so he prayed right to God. He remembered God. He says, you know, I got to go direct here, right to the holy temple. So he prayed. And then he says, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. And I'm not sure what was an idol in his life. Hatred was one for sure, because he hated those Ninevites so bad he was willing to die. But he didn't really want to die this way. You know, it would have been nice to die instantly. But no, God was going to draw this thing out a little bit for him. And so I don't know what he was repenting of, what he was thinking of when he talked about the idols. They forsake their own mercy. But he was doing some repenting, and he was remembering that if you get away from God, if you go opposite direction of God, things aren't going to go so good for you. You forsake mercy. So he wasn't even sure he was going to get the mercy that God has for him. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pray what I have vowed. salvation is of the Lord. He's doing some really serious repenting. There were some things he had told God he was going to do that he hasn't done. He made the vows. We don't do that today, but they did it back then. They would go to the temple and they'd make vows to the Lord. And the scriptures tell you, you need to keep your vows. And that goes for today. We make a vow where marriage is concerned, right? Right?
Yep.
Those are called vows. It's a covenant. It's a covenant with your mate. It's a covenant with God. And it says, he's even remembered that you're supposed to be thankful in every situation. So now he's just about ready to go fade out. And he remembers how good God really is. And he was thankful. We're coming up on Thanksgiving here real fast. I'm always thankful for Thanksgiving, but I think it's a little carnal because I like turkey and stuff, you know. But I'm also thankful to the Lord for all the blessings that he's given to me. For I will pay what I have vowed. So he says, okay, Lord, you let me out of here. I will do what you asked me to do. Salvation is of the Lord. And verse 10, so the Lord spoke to the fish. Again, the Lord spoke to the wind. It started. The storm started. The Lord spoke. It stopped. The Lord spoke to the fish. It swallowed Jonah. The Lord spoke to the fish. And what happens? It says, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it hurled Jonah onto dry land. Now, I want you to think about this. This is a really big fish. How did Jonah get on dry land? Yeah, power hurl. Now, either this fish was able to crawl up on the land, you know, but I think he hurled him. Now, you got to know that in this part of the country, there were fishermen all over the place drying their nets along the shores, right? Now, this is just me, but I think there was fishermen out there. They were drying their nets in the sun, mending their nets, just kind of talking. All of a sudden, this humongous fish sticks its head out of the water, and they're standing there going, and all of a sudden, splat. Right on the beach. And here's this pile of whatever it was. And they're standing there looking at this going, dude. And all of a sudden it starts moving. And Jonah stands up out of that pile of seaweed and whatever else was in there. And they're going, whoa. And scientists think, the ones that believe that this is a true story, which we do, this is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. Scientists think that 3 days in the belly of the whale changed Jonah's appearance a little bit. One is, it probably ate off half his clothes. Number two is, it probably ate his hair and his eyebrows off. It doesn't say that, but it might have got an ear or something too. But the thing that really stands out to me is it probably bleached him. His skin was probably like ours, like mine anyway. Wait. And they were, you know, they were kind of tan folks. But he was bleached, his hair was, eyebrows were probably gone, his clothes were half hanging up, and he stands up out of this pile of stuff that came out of the fish's belly, and these fishermen are probably just absolutely dumbfounded by this. Not being able to believe what they're seeing, and then Jonah starts talking. So, where am I? Where did you come from? And so he tells them the story. Now, this is just me again. I think these guys followed Jonah for the rest of his trip into Nineveh. I think they were there the whole way because this is like, dude, he's going to pronounce judgment on Nineveh, and we saw where he came from. This guy's an alien. He came from a special messenger, right? So he came. And they began to follow him around. I'm sure he got some clothes on and he got all cleaned up. He maybe saved a little seaweed just for souvenir in his back pocket. But here he goes. And verse chapter 3, and I'm going to have to end here really quick, but I got to get first part of chapter 3 in here. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time saying, arise, go to Nineveh. And I think he said it this way, arise, go to Nineveh. And the great city, and preach to it the message I tell you. So what did Jonah do? He went to Nineveh this time. Verse 3, and Jonah arose and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was exceedingly great city, a 3 days' journey in extent. I'm not going to get any farther than that. We'll have to continue this again next week. The whole sermon, Jonah was in the belly of the whale. What kind of sermon is that? Well, you think about your own situation and your own life and the places where maybe you're reserved to be disobedient, or you don't want to do what God asks you to do, or you don't want to go where God wants you to go, or you don't want to forgive people God wants you to forgive. And remember Jonah. Have you ever said that jokingly? Hope I don't get swallowed by a fish. Well, this is a true story. And God could have just wiped Jonah off the face of the earth and nobody would have ever known what happened to him. He could have gone out the back door of the fish instead of the front door. Very easily. He could have been just more fertilizer for the seaweed. But God had mercy on him. And he really wanted Jonah to do what God wanted him to do. And he worked with him. And it tells us a couple of things. God is amazingly powerful because he's God. But he works so intricately with an individual person whom he wants to work with. And he was patient with Jonah. And Jonah, I think, towards the end thought, I think I've gone too far. Well, where are you at? We had communion today. Just a reminder of the sacrifice that Jesus made. Remember, Jesus said, the sign I'll give you is a sign of Jonah, 3 days and three nights in the center of the earth. Jesus confirmed the story of Jonah just by talking about it and compared his stay in the grave to the stay of Jonah. Jonah was a type, was a prophecy of Christ. Isn't that cool? It all ties together. We're going to pray. In your life, if there's something, I encourage you to respond. Everyone bow their heads and close their eyes this morning. We basically had the same altar call last Sunday, but I think the Lord's pushing this point. This morning, if there's someone here that you could just say, whether it's a large thing or a small thing, very small thing or a very large thing or anything in between, that you've kind of been resisting the Lord in some area of your life and you really need to make a change, or you need to change directions. You need to go in the way God wants you to go. And you know what it is. Jonah knew what it was. He knew right away what the problem was. Maybe that's the case in your life too. If that's you, just slip your hand up. I'll see who to pray for. Anyone? I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. That hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else? I'm going to pray for you this morning. Not that I'm anybody special, but we're all going to pray together here, and we'll pray for those that lifted their hands, and we know God is going to reward their turning. Lord, I just thank you for your patience with us. Thank you, Lord, that you allow us to have our little thing until it's time. And then you'll really put the pressure on us. So Lord, I pray this would be the pressure. Not the belly of a fish today, but maybe tomorrow. So Lord, we just pray that we would be able to repent at Joppa before we find the boat, or before we buy the ticket, or before we get on the boat, or even if it's in the middle of the storm, before we're thrown overboard. Lord, we want to repent early on. So Lord, I just pray that you would help those who lifted their hands, that you would give them the strength to discipline themselves to follow you and be obedient. We just thank you for it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.